Goeiemôre, good morning. Welcome everybody. I'm going to read a scripture, then I'm going to ask some of you, I want to hear how you interpret the scripture. In Luke 9, from verse 23, Luke 9, verse 23, listen carefully. And he was saying to them all, this is Jesus, Jesus was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Let me repeat that first phrase. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In Matthew 10, Jesus saying the same things. This is one of the other Gospels. He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Get that? He who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Luke 14, the same situation. Whosoever does not carry his own cross, and there's an emphasis here, his own cross, your cross. Whosoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What does this mean? It's just something I felt the Holy Spirit quickening in my own heart. There's a difference between the work of the cross and the way of the cross. I'm going to be very brief, but I want you to get this, absorb this in your innermost being. Because this is where things in the Christian world becomes a bit vague. You can't quite see who's a true follower of Jesus and who is sort of vacillating. Because there's something we've got to get before the Lord, and that is a proper understanding of the finished works. The finished works of Jesus. When he died on the cross, you know, he uttered the words, "It is finished." So Jesus died for us. In fact, Paul emphasizes we died with him. We died with him. There we refer to the finished works. When you see what is past, that's phileretate. The finished works is done. Done in the past. I have been crucified. The old man was crucified. Recognize yourselves to be dead. And some of you touched on that truth. So I want to make it clear in simple terms. By reckoning on our identification with the finished work of Christ, we are delivered from sin's guilt and its power. Don't allow, here's an important one, don't allow doors, or another good word for it, and I'm going to say more about that in the days to come, don't allow gateways to be opened in your mind. The enemy would love to get his hands on those handles. Oh, I want to make this so clear. It's something that's growing in me a reality. Even as believers and born-again believers, we can sometimes open doors and the enemy can come in and harass us. It's like giving him a handle on your back. He will grab that handle. By missing the mark, by doing what you shouldn't be doing, sin means missing the mark. How many of you know that believers can still sin? You miss the mark. But by doing that and not dealing with it instantly, you give the enemy access to your life. And this is where the way of the cross comes in. Die weg van die kruis. And there's a difference between that and the finished works of the cross, which is past. The work of the cross, get this? The work of the cross is past tense. But the way of the cross is what you and I walk daily. Daily. The way of the cross. The old man in Adam experienced the work of the cross. But the new man in Christ is called to embrace the way of the cross. Oof, this is so real to me. Let me show you a little diagram. Can we just put that diagram on? Get that picture. Let it be burnt into your consciousness. That fall, and that's where the cross is. You remember the fall of Adam, and that Jesus came, and God reconciled humanity with himself through Christ. That's where the cross is, the work of the cross. But once you've been through the work of the cross, that's past, you now begin to walk on the way of the cross. The way of the cross. Why is this important to know the difference? Because we can't constantly want to go back to the cross where Jesus died. People get so mixed up, and as a result, the enemy can play havoc in your mind, make you feel guilty, make you this, make that. But we must be clear on this. When Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. And that becomes a reality the day you are born again. The day you are born again, you're in a new family. You're no longer under the old Adam. Jesus came as the last Adam and the second man who became the beginning of a new humanity. Now, one of the most precious scriptures that I tell you what, I have many precious good scriptures close to my heart, but this one, I'm going to read this to you now, is a scripture that puts it better than so many others, and I want to read it in more than one translation. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. I want you to listen to it. I'm going to read first from the Message translation. I don't know whether we fully grasp and appreciate what happened when God became man in Jesus. It's beyond the carnal mind's ability to grasp. But let your spiritual man absorb this like never before. Listen to Philippians 2 from verse 5, the Message. Think of yourselves this way. Other translations will say, have this attitude. Jy moet hierdie gesindheid hê, hierdie houding hê. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Jesus knew who he was, but he also knew his mission to come to this earth. Although he was equal to God, he did not regard that equality as something to be grasped. Unlike many super spiritual Christians. I'll get there. Let me read further. I like this. He says, he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. I'm tempted to say, unlike some Christians. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything. So that all created things in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ. Let me read you from the Voice translation. Lord, help us. I tell you this, if we can absorb this today, it will change the way we live and what we experience in this life. Philippians 2 from verse 5 in the Voice translation. In other words, he says, adopt the mindset of Jesus the Anointed. Live with his attitude in your hearts. Remember, though he was in the form of God, he chose not to cling to equality with God, but he poured himself out to fill a vessel brand new, a servant in form and a man indeed, the very likeness of humanity. The very likeness of humanity. And when we read all of this, remember the first line, have this attitude. Think like this. Get a new mindset about being a son of God, a Christian. Jesus only needed to embrace the way of the cross. Jesus did not need the work of the cross because he knew no sin. The Bible clearly says Jesus knew no sin. Him who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, but he knew no sin. So he didn't need the work of the cross. Are we clear? He didn't need the work, but he had to move on the way of the cross. He had to deny himself. Even though he was God, he could have done a lot of things to prove himself, but he refused and he chose to take on the form of a bondservant, a slave. Where does it put Christians today? Where does it put the church today in today's world? Why is it that in so many mega churches, and we look at it at times and we get an idea what's going on. Instead of preaching the word, you get people who are motivational speakers. Motivational speakers. They strengthen your self-will. You can do this. You are this. It sounds so opposite to what Jesus had to do. Can you hear this? Have this attitude, the attitude that Jesus had, who laid his life down. What it boils down, and this you can hear in the language of Paul, the Apostle Paul, weakness is the way of the cross. Hello? Weakness is the way of the cross. Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Will all the weak people here this morning lift your hands? All the weak people. All right. The rest of you, you're going to find out the truth. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. We're not talking about self-pity. We're not talking about, putting a long face. No. We are called to mature sonship. Now we must live by the life and strength of another. Remember the whole story of Jacob. Old Jacob, I think he was a man with quite a puffed up self-image. Remember how he cheated his brother out of his inheritance. Him and his mother worked together and he made him get an animal skin, is that right? And he smelled like an animal because Esau was a hunter. And Esau was supposed to be the oldest to get the inheritance. You know, and Jacob and his mother, they arranged things. So the father was already blind. And so when he came to give the firstborn blessing, old Jacob stuck out his arm. All right, this must be Esau, the father thought. And you know what happened. That's only one story. I can tell you the other story. How he found a way. When he went for this lady, what's her name? Rachel. And her father made him work, and he had to work for that woman. But he could only get the cattle with stripes on, right? The goats with stripes. Believe it or not, Jacob found a way to cut some bark of the trees in the water, and when the sheep saw that, they gave birth to striped. I mean, listen. He's a clever man, Jacob. Geef vir hom krediet. He was a clever manipulator. Slim. But then came the day when God was going to deal with the I am in him. I am in the wrong way. Ek is Jacob. Right? And God had a plan with Jacob. And he met an angel. It was actually God. The scriptures there are God in the form of a man, angel. And Jacob ended up wrestling with this angelic divine being. I can only imagine, how does that work? A man wrestling. I mean, God could have just and turned him into dust. But there was a wrestling match going on. To such an extent that when the angel wanted to leave him, Jacob said, "You will not leave me until you bless me." Daar kom daai alweer. You will leave me? I want a blessing first. And how that happened was, he was hit in his thigh. And Jacob came out of that wrestling match with a limp. Jacob walked with a limp. And guess what? If you take that in the language of the New Testament, every true born-again son of God that has been, you've made peace with the finished works of Christ, or I died with him, and now I'm on the way of the cross, and I'm going to live denying myself. Every person like that will have a limp. I can, of een of andere manier, gaan jy uitvind, there's something that happened in his life. Not necessarily a physical limp, you know what I mean. He carries the mark of a man that was delivered of living in his own strength. Jesus did not take equality with God as something to be grasped. Didn't. 1 Corinthians 1:18 in the Message says this. The message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully, as it turns out. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the same verse in the New American Standard says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How do you think, how else do you think the early church managed to survive all the events of the day and in fact impacted the world with the gospel? Can you imagine this? The church of those days managed to take the gospel across the earth. Only one way, by the way of the cross. Today we have television, we have Facebook, we have all the media at our exposure. We could export the gospel, we could this, we could that, but there's something not happening. It's not the same impact on the world. May God help us, and may a church emerge in those who walk the way of the cross. In other words, work in His strength and not on your own. I'm closing with this. Hebrews chapter 6. There is a warning here. Hebrews chapter 6. The first six verses. Listen carefully. Listen very carefully. Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of the faith towards God. Whew. Our preaching must upgrade. When we preach about the cross, make that clear, it's the finished works is past. But now when we talk about the cross, we say, let everyone take up his cross. And guess what? My cross will be different from your cross. Your cross will be different from your cross. It depends on our personality, our circumstances. God has a way of dealing with the self-will, the self-life. Verse 2. Let us press on, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These powerful statements, the author of Hebrews says, these are first things. These are the beginning stuff. Let's move on. Let's move on. Verse 3 says, and this we shall do, it's not wrong, but this we shall do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since, hear this, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God. Jesus will not be crucified again. They put him to open shame. Why do you think Moses had to be punished the way he was because he was hitting the rock twice? Remember the story. They needed water. God says, take your staff and hit the rock. He hit the rock and water gushed out. Second time, months later, again out of water. God says, take your staff, but this time you speak to the rock. That rock and that situation was like a type of Christ. Christ is the source of living waters. But he hit him. Part of that picture of the crucifixion. And then a second time he says, speak to him. Do not hit him again. And he hit the rock twice. He broke a type. Jesus cannot be crucified and will not be crucified a second time. Another scripture in Hebrews 10. Let's move on a little bit. Hebrews 10 from verse 26. Take this serious. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and is regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? What I see here, the cross was an event that changed the course of the universe, the history of mankind. And we must thank God for it. We must experience what it means to be born again. I was crucified with him. It becomes a reality. Our names have been written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. That's in the foreknowledge of God. He knew. God knows everything in advance. But now we are expected to walk the way of the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Each one of us has a cross, depending on your life situation, whatever it is. Take up your cross and follow me. That's how we become a disciple of Jesus. Is this going to be your, are you going to take this to heart? Walk the way of the cross. Don't let anybody, how spiritual they might be, boost your self-will. It's got nothing to do with my self-will. I've got to crucify my self-will for his will. Not my will, but thine be done. If Jesus had to say that on the cross, not my will, but thine be done, how much more you and I? Let's stand together. Not my will. Can we get that song up there again? Not my will, but thine be done. That song was written while a living word was being ministered years ago. And I want us to really make that our prayer. Praying with Jesus. Not my will, but thine be done.